Hi everyone, this is Matt with Life Prioritized. I'm very happy to be speaking with Danny today. Danny is the head of Firepole Marketing, co-author of Engagement from Scratch, instructor of the Write Like Freddy course, and his current project is turning the wildly popular Naked Marketing Manifesto into a book. He's also one of the most prolific guest posters out there, and it's from one of his guest posts and a webinar with Corbett Barr that I first heard about Danny. So without further ado, Danny, appreciate it. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, and very excellent introduction. I'm flattered.
Well, when I saw your webinar with Corbett, it really helped me think about mainly guest posting strategies, because I had just been churning out tons and tons of posts on my personal blog that I felt was pretty good writing, but of course nobody was really reading it besides friends and family. And so it helped me see where I could go with guest posting, and I've been able to get some guest posts published, which has certainly been really helpful. And so I've really appreciated your work, and I've been on the Firepole email list and have gotten good information from that. So have appreciated your work and what you're doing for people.
I'm really glad to hear it.
Well, let's go ahead and get into the questions. First of all, talk a little about your decision to drop out of high school and start running your own businesses. And even as a teenager, what was the thought process like to focus in on what you felt really mattered to you?
Sure. Well, I mean, it was quite organic. I mean, when, you know, I say that I dropped out of school, started a business, it sounds sitting in a suit as a 15-year-old, you know, doing programming or whatever all day. And that wasn't the case. I was still 15 years old. So I did have the work ethic of a 15-year-old. But what happened was, for the couple, for I guess a year and a half leading up to that, I had just gotten really bored with, was cutting a lot of classes. I really was getting a lot out of my experience at school. And at one point, I just realized that, you know, this is really silly. This is a really bad use of my time. I mean, what am I going to do? Keep just cutting tons of classes for the next 2.5 years? Better to just make it official and quit and do something constructive with my time. I've always been very big on doing something. I'm not someone who can just kind of veg and do nothing for a very long time. It's weird for me.
Sure. Well, I think that, and even though you say, I think that, sure, you maybe didn't have the greatest work ethic at 15. Who does? And that you weren't sitting down writing code all day. Just kind of starting the thought process of what's the best use of my time, and is this a constructive way that I can start to better myself and do things, is something that a lot of people, myself included, we don't start making those decisions and figuring out at a cost to us what the best use of our time is. So that's awesome.
Well, thank you.
When you started Firepole, what are some of the difficult choices you had to make to really create a company you were proud of?
Honestly, not a lot of difficult choices. I think a lot of the choices that you know, people might, they seemed very obvious to me. I think in general, in the business world, there is kind of this perceived dichotomy between, you know, doing the smart strategic business thing and doing the right thing, the good thing. And that's just not true. I mean, in almost every case, the right thing, the smart thing, the same thing. Building a work environment where people want to work, creating something that I am proud of, It's not like it was, do I do that or do I try to make money? It's
right,
the other way around. These are the things that contribute to making money. So it's difficult for me to answer that question.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess kind of going into the next question, how did you choose? I think this is what I'm going through, and I think a lot of people do. There's a lot of different good things that are going on in our lives. And I saw how you ran a marathon a couple of years ago. And so there are a lot of good things that we can do in our lives, such as exercising, spending time with friends. But how do you, I guess, balance that out? You're starting a business, or you're running your own company. how do you balance out those other good things with I've got this great work inside of me that I can do? So how do you mix those priorities up?
I don't see it as mixed priorities. I see it as being, I guess, acting responsibly towards your vision and your priorities. I mean, here's the thing. We are not machines. We cannot just plug into our computers and work 14-hour days every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, there's going to be crunch time periods when you've got to do that for a few weeks maybe, but we're just not built to do that for an extended period of time. So if you don't socialize and you don't exercise, you don't do all these things, you're going to become less healthy and less energetic and less inspired and more burned out, and you're not going to be able to keep doing all these things that you want to do. I mean, recognize that building anything substantial, it's a lot more like a marathon than like a sprint. And you know, when you're running a marathon, you've got to drink water along the way, the bananas and power pack they give you, and you're just not going to be able to do it. And so kind of see, like, getting enough and getting your exercise and having friends and having relationships, that's what allows you to do all this stuff. Nobody's building, you know, a massively successful business in 3 weeks or 5 weeks. You know, if you can lock yourself away in a cave for 3 weeks and come out a millionaire, then, you know, wonderful. But that's not how real life works.
Right.
No, it's really not a choice between, you know, do I build my business or do I have friends? It's that if I don't have friends, then in not even the long term, in the medium term, I won't have the energy or inspiration to build my business. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a little bit of discipline. And discipline is one of those things that I find a lot of people, don't understand very well. I have a background in martial arts, and I learned a lot about discipline through martial arts. And the best way that I've learned to define discipline is it's not about forcing yourself to do stuff you don't want to do. That's what people think sometimes. But it's just about having the presence of mind and perspective to do what you want instead of what you feel like. You know, I want to build my business and have a productive life. I might feel like doing work on my business right now, but that's not actually going to contribute to what I want in the medium term or in the big picture. And so it's just about an awareness, trying to create things tied together.
Right. And that's, I'm so glad you brought up the point about discipline, because that's something that I know I'm working through, and I think a lot of people are of, you're right, not saying like I'm not going to have friends and I'm going to build this $1 million business within a few weeks, but being able to sit down and say, like, okay, I've got an hour to write this morning, and not to get hung up on Facebook or Twitter or some of the even good things with your site, like blog metrics or something. And I know that having that way of discipline is really important. The next question is, how do you stay disciplined with your time and those priorities between work, family, friends, exercise, and in the midst of all that you have going on? I know that you, all those things that I mentioned at the beginning, you've got a lot going on. How do you stay disciplined within that?
I don't know. I just kind of do. I mean, I think part of it is about maintaining the right level of visibility. I usually plan things a few days in advance or a week in advance, and I usually kind of book the next thing. So if something comes up, I'll book it. I won't be like, well, let's explore that a bit later, or, you know, so if I'm to friends, I'm like, well, let's find a time to do it. And that just forces you to kind of slot everything in. And it's helpful, I think, to take a step back, and I try to do this once a week, and I don't always remember to do it, but, you know, there's a little reminder that jumps onto my screen on Friday at noon, so it's kind of like in preparation for the weekend. And, you know, my goals, take a step back, look at your calendar, look at all the stuff I'm working on. Is what I'm doing consistent with what I want? And sometimes it just takes, you know, you've got to run through it all for like 3 minutes. And it's like, yep, it's good, check, you know, back to work. Or, yeah, it's not. And especially, you know, if I've been, maybe it's not
doesn't jive and fit so well for a few weeks in a row, then, you know, at some point you kind of realize, okay, maybe I have to adjust something.
When you look at the things that maybe are distractions to you, what are those biggest useful distractions that I mentioned a minute ago that keep you from your work, or you find start to drain your energy, spending too much time on social media or analytics? Is there anything like that you kind of can point to, like, that's something that I can struggle with?
Not really, because as long as you're maintaining that visibility, it's pretty clear, like, is this helping me? You know, they say if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person, because a busy person is used to just kind of, you know, does this need to be done? Does this not need to be done? You know, I watch my numbers every morning, but it takes all of like 5 seconds. So it's not like it takes that much time. And other than that, there's too much to do for me to be distracted by like stupid stuff that I don't have time for, you know?
Right. Yeah. Do you have any tips or tricks for staying productive throughout those things or during your day? What are some of the things you use to really help yourself focus in?
I try to vary the rhythm of my work. Like sometimes I'm doing work that requires like focused attention, whether, for example, I'm writing or something, and I will try to close it down and just do that a little while. And if I'm feeling more tired, what I'll do, you know, maybe I'll put on a TV show to run in the background while I do kind of less higher cognitive function required work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like checking the links in a blog post or stuff like that. It helps to vary things up. I also, like, I have a pretty good sense of what my rhythms are personally. Like when I'm much more productive in the morning. I'm much less right. productive in the afternoon. And it's, if I'm dealing with people, it's a lot easier to stay focused because it's kind of an interplay. So stuff like interviews and stuff like phone calls and client-facing stuff, I'll try to put that in the afternoon whenever I can. And in the morning, it's like I try to keep that clear so it's time for actually getting work done.
Right. And
just that and varying the rhythm.
Sure. Yeah, I think... I think that's really great advice to find what time works for you. Jason Fried with 37 Signals talks a lot about that in his book Rework, of some people work best at this time and other people work best at that time, and to really allow people to do what serves them best. And I think sometimes we can really take that away even from ourselves, like, well, this is when I'm supposed to be doing something, instead of when it actually serves you well. Are there any type of social media apps or that you use to help keep your usage under control but effective? For instance, I use Buffer a lot. That allows me to not have these giant mass, you know, moments of 5 texts in 2 minutes or 5 Twitter messages in five minutes. Are there any other apps or services you found to be helpful?
I use the old version of TweetDeck just to manage, you know, my Twitter streams, just so I can have some visibility and follow them. But not really. I'm actually not that active on social media. I just haven't found it to be that high leverage a medium as compared to writing content, putting it on blogs, having subscribers, interacting with people via email. And, you know, my philosophy is if it isn't doing much for me, then why waste my time?
Right. What do you consider to be your most important list or metric of engagement, whether that's an email subscription or RSS readers or daily visits to the website? Which do you consider to be most
important? Okay, well, RSS readers is useless. Anyone who's looking at an online business, I think you've got to have email. Because that's just so much more powerful in terms of the relationship you build with people. And in terms of what are engagement rates, I mean, you know, it depends what you're trying to do. You might look at comments, you might look at traffic, you might look at open rate. I mean, the numbers that I watch
are I'll watch my traffic just because it kind of gives me a benchmark to leading indicator of are things going up or down, not because it matters all that much. I'll watch my subscribers very carefully because that's a number that matters a lot. It's really a lot simpler than people think. It's not like you need this really complex dashboard. It's like, you know, are people opting into your stuff? Are they listening to you? Are they buying from you? Like, what else do you need?
Right, yeah. No, I totally understand that. And I think, I know for me, what I, as a guy who's been blogging for just in 6 months now, very intentionally, it's really easy to get distracted by, or at least it has been for me to get distracted by, not just a whole lot of metrics and analytics and engagement, but different ways to get out there to people. And a piece of advice that I've just continually received is start focused, start small, be really good at one or two things. Don't worry about these five or six different ways that you can get out. Just get out there really well.
The key is to be strategically driven. It's that these are the people I want to reach, and so this is how I think I'm going to reach them, and this is what I need to do to validate whether I'm right or wrong. And until you validate it, then don't mess around with other things. Just like get it done and see if it works or not. But don't jump from because if you're just tactic driven, it's like I just want to build an audience. I don't know how. I'll do anything. Then you're going to be jumping around from tactic to tactic. You're probably not going to give any of them the effort that they require to make them work. You're probably going to abandon them before you have gathered enough data to really know if it's working for you or not. And you're just going to be jumping from tactic to tactic forever. So see everything you do as a hypothesis test. What is the hypothesis? And how are you going to validate whether you're right or wrong?
Great. That's great advice. I appreciate it. For everyone who is trying to make the transition to a self-employed or web-based business, what would you consider to be your most important piece of advice?
Recognize that it takes time. It's not, there are a lot of get-rich-quick overnight stories. Most of them are bullshit. They either leave out a lot of information. They talk about the overnight success without mentioning the 10 years behind it. Or they're just, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There are a lot of people who embellish or lie about their numbers. Building something real will take time. I tell people that if you know exactly what you need to do, you do everything right, and you put in 10, 20 hours a week at least, you could probably get there in 6 to 8 months, 6 to 12 months. If you're figuring it out as you go, then really you should expect to put in, 20 to 30 hours a week, and you're going to do it for a year and a half before you start getting somewhere really good. It's a sad reality that their expertise is a really real barrier to entry. I mean, if I were to start completely from scratch right now, I think I could rebuild what I've done in, maybe half the time it took me to build it the first time, because I've learned so much along the way, and I know what works and I know what doesn't, et cetera.
Right.
But even so, it would take me 6 to 8 months at least of full-time work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of work. I mean, I see a lot of people who are kind of in the space of, I want to kind of build my, whether it's an online business, a freedom business, whatever they call it. And they're working on kind of 5-10 hours a week on the side as a hobby, and they're not paying for the expertise that they need, whether that means buying training or getting coaching or mentoring. Like, it's probably not going to happen. I mean, playing with a blog and posting content and slowly growing a readership is not the same as building a business. I mean, building a business takes a lot of work and a lot of action, but more importantly, it takes the right action. If you work really hard doing all the wrong stuff, then you will have done lots of work, but you're not going to get the results you want. So be realistic about how much work is involved and how much time it takes and what expertise it requires. And then be honest with yourself about whether you have the time and the runway to make that happen, but also be realistic with yourself about the expertise that you're bringing to the table. And if you don't have that expertise, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you need to get that information. You need to get that help. And it's absolutely worth paying for. Like, I hear people all the time say that, well, I don't want to invest money in my business until the business is making money. And I find that, like, I understand the rationale in some ways, but it's really ridiculous if you think about it.
Sure.
like if someone is saying, I want to replace my income, let's say they're making $5,000 a month, so $60,000. They want to build a $60,000 income and they're not willing to invest any money in doing it. Like, but reality, it's like saying, you know, I'm not paying for rent or plates in my restaurant
right.
until I have people buying food for me. It's like, come on.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, even a small micro business, there's startup, and I know, I mean, I've had to invest, I mean, just a little bit to get my blog up to where I want it to be and how I want it to look. And yeah,
a bit on hosting, a bit on design, sure. a bit on coding, maybe whatever. And we're talking about a couple $1,000s, which yeah. in the scale of what you want to build isn't significant.
Right.
But the trickier place where people are hesitant to spend money is on guidance and advice on what they should be doing. And it can save so much. I mean, it's tricky because you've got to find someone good. You've got to find someone that you trust. There's a lot of misinformation and bad advice out there. A lot of quote unquote experts. Mm-hmm. You know, I hooked a client up recently. She's writing content for children, and she wants to reach them on Facebook. So I hooked her up with my cousin, who's 13 years old. And it's like, you know, there are so many Facebook experts, and their pages have, like, you know, 200 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my cousin, who's 13 years old, has, like, 6,000 followers on her random fan page created right. for some TV character for no reason. So it's like, just because someone says they're an expert doesn't mean you should pay them money. You've got to really trust that they can help you. But if you do trust that they can help you, like it's worth paying to get pointed in the right direction.
Right. Going along with that training bit, that's something that I've continued to look into. I'm going through a course right now and have a couple more on the horizon, including yours, the Write Like Freddy course. Do you want to talk a little bit about that course and just some other trainers that you think are really top notch at what they do?
Sure. Well, I'll talk a little bit about Write Like Freddy. I don't want to be like, you know, selling my program here, but it basically Write Like Freddy teaches people how to write quickly and effectively to create really good content and put it in the places where it's going to get them the results that they want in terms of business growth. It is not the best solution for everyone. It is a good, effective solution, especially for starting off in the early stages of a blog. It's a good solution if writing is your kind of bottleneck, and it's a good solution if you're trying to reach an audience that aggregates around other blogs. It's not like a magical panacea, and I try to tell people, like, you know, there is no one magic course right. that will solve everything. And if people aren't sure, I mean, you know, go to writelikefreddy.com, read the sales letter, see if it looks like a fit to you. Mm-hmm. If it is, you know, it's $137. It's not a lot of money.
Right.
And if it isn't, then that's totally fine too. And you know, you're welcome. I've got tons of free information that people are welcome to avail themselves of. If for whatever reason, and I tell people this all the time, if for whatever reason I'm not the right person to help them, whether what I'm teaching does not fit their needs or they don't like my style or whatever, find someone else that you trust. And people that I recommend are John Morrow. I recommend Derek Halpern. I recommend Corbett Barr. And there are other people out there. It's like, you know, there are a lot of people who are quacks, but there are a lot of people who are smart, who are good people, who are hardworking. And just find someone who you like their style. They're responsive to your emails and your communications. You enjoy working with them. You trust them. And they're not a one-trick pony. Like, be careful about people. My friend Dove Gordon, who's another great guy to check out, he calls them marketing plumbers, right? If you go to Joe the plumber and you say, Joe, I want you to build me a house, he's going to say, well, I can do the plumbing for your house, but I'm a plumber. I don't build houses. You need an architect, you need an engineer, and you need a contractor. You need all that stuff, and I can do the plumbing. Whereas in marketing, you find people who are like, you know, oh, you need AdWords. AdWords is a solution to everything. Or, you know, SEO or webinars or whatever the trick happens to be. It's like they're these one-trick ponies that, you know, they've only got a hammer, so everything looks like a nail. So whoever you trust should be someone you love, someone you like their style, you relate to them, they're responsive, and they know more than one trick.
Excellent. Yeah, and there's all kinds of resources out there, and I know it's really easy to get bogged down, so I really appreciate you giving that, as talking about how to look for the right kind of training. We're coming down to the last few questions. Something that you talked about is how you're a morning person. That's when you feel like you have the best use of your time and of your work. So how do you start your day? You also talked about being in a rhythm. Is there a particular rhythm or routine you go to that helps you be centered and like, okay, it's time for me to start. This is what I'm going to do.
Not really. I mean, I get up in the morning, you know, the whole, you know, you brush your teeth, wash your face, et cetera. I'll usually take a quick look at my email just to give me a sense of who I'm going to be dealing with in the next few hours before really going into the emails. And, you know, you shower, you have a coffee, or as it happens, I'm not drinking caffeine anymore. So I have this like fake cereal grain coffee. So I have my cup of fake coffee. I'll dive into my email and I try to get done certainly everything urgent, but ideally I'll try to address everything I can. And usually that's done by hopefully 9 or 10, depending on what's going on. And ideally I'll have then a few hours to work on something bigger, whether I'm writing a sales letter or creating videos or writing blog content or planning something out or whatever needs to be done. And then I'll have, you know, interviews or calls or client meetings or whatever in the afternoon. Now, that's a very kind of best case scenario thing. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I've got scheduled stuff in the morning. Sometimes I'm not feeling as energized and I do kind of listen to my rhythm and, you know, I'll keep going based on how much energy I have and what's urgent and what my priorities are. I'm pretty good at critical pathing things out, so kind of seeing where the bottlenecks are likely to happen. So I try not to let things kind of all converge at once, but it happens sometimes.
Sure.
And like I think it's a big time management trap that people fall into is trying to find like that perfect magic rhythm or scale or arrangement that just makes them productive all the time. Just get to work and get shit done. And sometimes you'll be productive and sometimes you won't, and you'll kind of iterate towards a groove that works for you better. But like shuffling things around on your schedule, not getting things done. So it's better to just get things done.
Excellent. Last question. I kind of think of it as a Back to the Future type of question. If you were able to run into a room and meet your startup self, what are the 5 seconds of advice you would try and give yourself before Men in Black came over and tried to bring you back to where you're supposed to be?
Nothing in particular, really. Nothing that I could. I mean, there are tons of insights that I'd share if I had more time, but not in 5 seconds. There's no, avoid that pitfall. Like, there's nothing like that.
Sure.
And, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes or quote-unquote mistakes. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of things go wrong, but you just deal with them. There's a quote I really like out of this book called Emergency, written by Neil Strauss. I copied this down. It's on my bulletin board. And what it says is, if you're prepared and don't panic, most of life's emergencies are merely inconveniences. So, you know, things will go wrong. It's okay. You know, take a step back, keep your head, and then get back to work.
Sure. That's a great quote. And it's, I'm glad you really said that. Didn't really even take the bait I put out there, because it's true that we learn so much from our failures, a lot of times much more than our successes. So thank you for giving a more descriptive answer than I asked for.
My pleasure.
Well, Danny, just thank you once again for being on here, and for everybody that's listening, follow Danny on Twitter and go over to firepolemarketing.com. I'll have that in the post when this goes up next week. And it's just a great resource for both free and paid content. The training is great. I learned a lot from his webinar on writing. So just encourage you guys to look Danny up and give him a read.
Thank you. And if anyone wants to get a little bit more of my stuff, probably the best introduction to who I am, what I'm doing, and what I might be able to offer you is my book, Engagement from Scratch, mm-hmm. which, you know, you can buy it on Amazon or whatever, but you can also just go to engagementfromscratch.com and download the whole thing. It's like, it's 2 chapters, to buy the rest. You can download the entire book. It's free. And
you know, it's got 69 five-star reviews on Amazon, so
excellent.
I must have done something right.
Sure. No, thank you again for that, and I'll have all that up in the show notes later on. So once again, Danny, thank you, and I hope you have a great day.
Awesome. You too. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining me in this interview with Danny Enney from Firepole Marketing. Make sure you go to firepolemarketing.com and check out all of the great free resources that Danny and his team have made available. Thanks for listening to Life Prioritized, helping you make decisions and choices towards what truly matters. We'll see you next time.